ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ इन् दि लास्ट् क्लास् I was in the middle of a story, the story of Gangavataranam, how Bhagiratha brought Ganga, the river, from the heavens to the earth. Bhagiratha came to know from his father Amshuman that his ancestors, known as Sagaraputras, were burnt to ashes by the anger of Kapila Rishi, who was doing tapas in Patala Loka, and they came to know that the ancestors could be saved only with the help of Ganga Jalam, and nobody else could attempt this big feat, and therefore Bhagiratha had to work on that. And Bhagiratha decided to bring Ganga down to the earth, and that is why any person of determination is often called Bhagiratha, and the effort is called Bhagiratha Prayatna. So he did tapas invoking the grace of Ganga Devi, and Ganga Devi offered to come down to the earth, but the problem was, who will receive the river? Because the momentum will be so tremendous that if there is no appropriate cushion effect, the earth will disintegrate. And therefore, Bhagiratha had to do another 1,000 years of tapas, 1,000 years for getting the grace of Ganga. Then another 1,000 years he did tapas invoking Lord Shiva to help him. Lord Shiva appears and offers to receive Ganga Devi. And Shiva wanted to teach a lesson also to Ganga, because she was arrogant. I am such a powerful river. And therefore Shiva was ready, and Ganga Devi came, and Shiva did not use any special place or anything. His own jata was enough. And as Ganga Devi came down, Shiva received Ganga in his jata. And not only that, even though Ganga Devi was so vast a river, the whole river was accommodated within the jata, and Lord Shiva even covered that Ganga. Irukkara edan theriyama pannuta. She just disappeared into Shiva's jata. And not only that, after teaching a lesson, Shiva went or continued his tapas. Lord Shiva loves tapas. Now Bhagiratha was in trouble, because his purpose is not merely bringing down Ganga. Ganga must be available for saving his ancestors. And therefore again he had to do tapas. Because if you disturb Shiva's tapas, and Shiva gets angry like Kapila Muni, And Bhagiratha also gets burned to ashes, things will get worse. And therefore he did again tapas, invoking the grace of Lord Shiva. And Ganga Devi also was praying to Lord Shiva, I am getting suffocated within your jata. Please let me out, let me breathe fresh air. So because of the tapas of both of them, Lord Shiva agrees to release not the whole Ganga, but a portion of Ganga. And incidentally, if you take this whole story as a symbolic thing, Ganga Devi represents Brahma Vidya, and Ganga Devi coming out of Lord Shiva's head indicates the knowledge coming down to the earth from the Lord's wisdom. Because Ganga Devi can immortalize or save his ancestors, similarly, Brahma Vidya also can save all the people from mortality. And therefore, Lord Shiva released a small stream. You would have seen in pictures, Lord Shiva doing tapas and a small fountain. You know, a small stream of water coming. So Bhagiratha was very happy. After a lot of effort, Ganga Devi has come down, and therefore he requested Ganga Devi to come down to Patalam, because this is Bhulokam. So therefore, from the heavens Ganga has come to earth, from the earth she has to come to Patala and save his ancestors. Then what happened? The story continues. Long serial, you know. So while Ganga Devi flows, she passes through the hermitage of a rishi known as Jannu Maharshi. And when Ganga Devi flows and floods the hermitage of Jannu Maharshi, naturally, the ashram is disturbed because of flood, and therefore the rishi gets angry. And therefore, what did Jannu Maharshi do? Drank the whole Ganga. So first she got caught in Shiva's jata, now she got caught in Jannu Maharshi's stomach, ullavaita. So again Ganga Devi got suffocated and Bhagiratha got frustrated, because the water has to save his ancestors. Then what to do? Again, like if you have to get some certificate from bureaucrats, you have to fall at the feet of so many people from the gatekeeper onwards. ஒருத்தருக்கு தட்சிணை உண்டு, உனக்கு 10 வச்சுக்கோ, உனக்கு 50 வச்சுக்கோ, then only ultimately you get. And you cannot argue with them, because then if at all there is a possibility of getting, that will also go away. எல்லாம் தாழ்ந்துதான் போயாகணும். So like that, Bhagiratha cannot get wild. Therefore again he did the tapas, propitiating Jannu Maharshi. I have brought down Ganga for a particular purpose. Please don't defeat that purpose. So Jannu Maharshi allows the Ganga river to flow out through his ear. Don't ask me how, because he is Rishi, therefore they can do anything. Therefore first Ganga came from the head of Shiva, and then it came from the ears of Jannu. It all indicates that Brahma Vidya is Karna Parampara. Thalelendu kaaduku varum, kaadulendu thalaikku povum. This is how the Brahma Vidya Parampara is. And since Ganga Devi came again from Jannu Maharshi's ear, it is called Jahnavi. So we will get that in the 10th chapter of the Gita. So at that time I won't tell the story again. So I will remind you, Srotasam Asmi Jahnavi Varaparada. That's why I thought I will tell the whole story here itself, so that I can hint as the situation arises. And then at last, Ganga Devi came down to Patala Loka, and then all the Sagara Putras, how many? Ponavara Nyavam Ruko? 60,000 Sagara Putras were saved. So this is the story of Gangavataranam. And the place where the Sagara Putras were burned to ashes is called Kapilaranyam. The place in Patala where Kapila Rishi did tapas is called Kapilaranyam. And according to Kanchi Paramacharya, that Kapilaranyam alone later got twisted and became Kaliparanyam, and Kaliparanyam is the modern California of America. Patalam, Bhoomiye nera thundu enga poho. So don't ask me whether America is Patalam, okay? So California is what na? Kapilaranyam. And to prove his point, Shankaracharya says, nearby there is an island called Ash Island. Because all the 60,000 got burned to ashes. Adhanaladana, no, who knows? Ash Island and California. Anyway, whatever it is, that is aside. So the Sagara Putras got saved. And that is why the ocean, which was dug by the Sagara Putras, got the name Sagaraha. So Sarasamasmi Sagaraha. Adu kahada and the kada arambichan. Okay, where does it come? Verse number 24, second line, last word, Sagaraha. And based on this alone, there is a well-known shloka written by Bhartrihari, Prarabhyate nakhalu vighna bhayena nichaihi, Prarabhya vighna vihata viramanti madhyah, vighnai punaf punarapi pratihanyamanah, prarabdha muttama gunana parityajanti. Three types of people. One type of people, they never undertake anything. Why? Because they are afraid of failure. So since they don't have the capacity to accept failure, they never undertake anything, and they declare to everyone, I have never failed in life. Why? Ennalum panninathane. If I do something only, there is a question of failure. These people are called Manda Purusha. Then there is a middle, next higher type of people, Prarabhya Vighna Vihataha Viramanti Madhya. They have the courage to start, but once they face one or two failures, CA entrance examination, people cry. Swamiji, I have written the examination so well, but I did not pass at all. So if the failure comes, some people withdraw, stop from going further, but the Madhyama people are those who withdraw from the undertaking when they see an obstacle, one or two obstacles. They are called Madhyama Purusha. And Uttama Purushas are those people who continue again and again and again. How long? until they find success. Vignair muhur muhurapi pratihanya mana. Ettara obstacle vandhalam, Ganga Devi refused to come, then she was willing to come, there was nobody to receive. Then Shiva had to be asked, and thereafter Jannu Maharshi obstacle. So many obstacles, but Bhagiratha decided, unless I get CA degree, means what? Unless I bring that Ganga and save my forefathers, I will not stop my attempt. So, prarabdham uttama gunaha na parityajanti. So, thus, Bhagiratha is an ideal example of perseverance. Continuing. Maharshinam bhruguraham giramasmekam aksharam yajnanam japayajnosmi sthavaranam himalayah Maharshinam bhruguhu aham. Among the Maharshis, there are Sapta Rishis who are well known, who are supposed to be directly born out of Brahmaji's mind. They are called Manasaputra. And among those Sapta Rishis also, Bhrigu is considered to be the preeminent one. While dealing a shloka before, we saw Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatvaromana Vastatha. While doing that shloka, I gave you the names of the Sapta Rishis. The first one was Bhruguhu. So Bhrigum Marichi Matrincha. And therefore Krishna says, all rishis are great, and the greatest one is Bhrigu, and that Bhrigu Rishi I am. And in the Puranas, several stories are said about Bhrigu, and one story says that Bhrigu tested the Trimurtis themselves to find out among the Trimurtis who is the most patient one. And then he went and irritated Brahma to find out whether they lose their temper. It seems Brahma lost the temper. And Shiva kakave vanda unnu villame kochupar soluva. Therefore Shiva is Rudra. He also lost the temper. So both of them failed in the exam. And then Bhrigu went and kicked Vishnu's chest. And instead of getting angry, Vishnu asked Bhrigu, is your leg all right? Is it paining? And they say, because of that alone, Vishnu got the mark in his chest, Srivat Sankita Vakshasam. So imagine, if somebody should conduct examination for Trimurtis themselves, certainly he must be greater. Therefore, that Bhrigu, the great examiner, I am. Giram asmi ekam aksharam. Among all the words, I am the Omkaraha. Ekam aksharam means the word consisting of one syllable, the monosyllabled word, and what is that? Om. And why do we say Omkara is the greatest word? Because Omkara is considered to be the essence of the entire Veda. In the Taittiriya Upanishad class, we will be seeing யச்சந்தசாமிருஷபு விஸ்வரூபஹ சந்தோப்யோத்யமிருதாத் சம்பபூவ சமேந்திரோ மேதயா ஆஸ்ப்ருணோது. So just as we churn and bring butter from the milk or curds, and just as devas churned the milky ocean and brought out amrutam, similarly Brahmaji churned the omkara and brought out of the omkara the butter called om. Therefore omkara is considered to be veda saraha, and therefore it is considered the most efficacious mantra. It is used in karmakanda for all rituals. We will be seeing that again in Taittiriya Upanishad. Omiti samani gayanti ogum shomiti shastrani shagumsanti. For Veda Parayanam, the first word is Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. For all rituals, the first word uttered is Om. And for Upasanas or meditations also, Omkara is used as an Alambanam or symbol. Thus in Karma Kandam, Omkara is used. In Upasana Kandam, Omkara is used. And even in the Vedantic section, Omkara is used for inquiry into reality. The entire Mandukya Upanishad is Omkara Vichara to arrive at the reality. In fact, Mandukya Upanishad begins Om itteda dakshara midagum sarvam tasyopavyakhyanam. Omkara is not only the essence of the entire Veda, Omkara is the essence of the entire creation. Bhutam bhavat bhavishyaditi sarvam Omkara eva. Therefore in Jnana Kandam, Omkara is important. In Upasana Kandam, Omkara is used. In Karma Kanda, Omkara is used. Thus, Omkara is the most important mantra. And that is why we begin with Om and end also with Om. And therefore, Krishna says, among all the words, I am the most sacred word, Omkaraha. Therefore, Giram. Giram means what? Among the words. So, Gir. Gihi Girau Giraha. Gihi means a padam. A word is called Gihi. And Giram means among the padani, among the words. I am the monosyllabled Omkara. Then, Yajnanam Japayajnaha Asmi. Among all types of religious sadhanas, among all types of spiritual sadhanas, I am Japayajnaha. And why Krishna chooses Japa Yajna? Because it is one Yajna which can be practiced by all the people. Where Varna, Ashrama restrictions are not there, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Grihasthas, Vanaprasthas, Sannyasis, for all the people, Japa Yajna can be used. Whereas if you take other yajnas, there are restrictions. If you take Agnihotra, only Grihastha can do, not a Brahmachari or Sannyasi. If you take a Rajasuya Yaga, only Kshatriya can do, Brahmana cannot do. And there are certain rituals which can be done only by people who have got sacred thread. And other people are prohibited from doing that. So thus, some are based on varnas, some are based on ashramas, some are based on the upanayana ceremony, some are allowed for males, some are allowed for females, whereas japa yajna is open to all. It is a universal sadhana. And therefore it is the greatest sadhana. And the second advantage is, you don't require a particular time or place. You can practice everywhere. If you want to do a homa, a particular place is required. It has to be prepared and you have to face proper direction. Whereas japa yajna, there are no such restrictions. In all times, all places and all conditions. And thirdly, there is a benefit in japa yajna because there is no himsa or effort involved. Because in certain Vedic sacrifices, animal sacrifice is mentioned which can disturb many people. In fact, Buddha turned against the Vedas only because he was against animal sacrifice. Many people cannot swallow that. So therefore, there are certain rituals where himsa is involved. And even if animal sacrifices are not involved, to do the rituals, you have to undergo physical pain. Or ritual solluthuna elundiru solluva namaskaram pannu solluva namukku okkandu elundirukkrade periya project. Sitting and standing is a very big thing. You are asked to repeatedly do namaskaram. It's all himsa to oneself. In japa yajnaha there is no himsa. Aadamal asayamal okkandu edathiliye sollalam. This is the third benefit. So this is universal. It can be practiced in any place, any time, under any condition. Then there is no himsa involved. And finally, and most importantly, most practically, no expenditure involved. Adu solliyanuma illaya. Any ritual you want to do, you have to spend. Adu nei vanam sonna inda kaalathile nei vikkara velaki. So therefore it is all expensive, and the priest dakshina and all those things. For japa you have to use only the organ of speech in which we are always expert. Epodum pesinde irukkom illayo. Therefore, we are very much used to using our organ of speech. Therefore, instead of gossip, replace it with Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namo Narayanaya, or any word. So, it is inexpensive, but at the same time, it is as efficacious as other rituals. And that is why they say, a person who is a Vaidika, who is born to Vedic culture, must minimum do one sadhana of japam. Even if you don't do any other greater religious disciplines, perhaps upavasa you may not be able to do because of health reasons, rituals you may not be able to do because of professional constraints, you may not be able to do due to economic reasons. Our shastra say minimum sadhana that everybody can practice and should practice is samjapa. Any nama of the Lord 108 times a day minimum. Japye naivatu samsiddhe. the full sadhana chatushtaya sampatti by the mere sadhana of japa. And that is why they give the definition of japa: jakaro janma vichedaha, pakaraha papanashanaha, janma papaharo yasmat japayiti uchyate budhai. Japala randa sharam irukku. Jakaraha, the first letter ja indicates what? Janma vichedaha, the end to the cycle of birth and death. And the next letter pa indicates what? Pakaraha papanashanaha, janma papa haro yasmat. Since this sadhana will remove all the papams, and through that will put an end to the cycle of samsara, japa iti uchyate budhai. And therefore japa is a great sadhana. Then what is japa? Okay, japa is great, japa is great. Chulli japa na enna theriyaliye solapadade. Japa means a repetition of any sacred word is called japaha, which is different from parayanam. In parayanam, you don't repeat a thing again and again. It is only a linear reading of the whole thing. You read the entire Gita or a chapter of Gita, you utter only once. That is called parayanam. In japa, you take one word or a few words and avrittihi. Avrittihi means what? Tirpi tirpi adaye sharanam. Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. So such a sadhana is called japaha, mantra avrittihi japaha. And therefore Krishna says, among the sadhanas, I am japa yajnaha. Then sthavaranam himalayaha. From one topic, Krishna jumps to a totally different topic. Because whatever thought comes to him, that is his glory. Anala yodikive vanda. So the next item he mentions is sthavaranam, among the mountains. I am Himalayaha. So the most sacred mountain ranges in the world, wherein Lord Shiva is there, Shiva's abode, Parvati's father. So the, from that only somebody said, the best place on the earth is father-in-law's house. What is the proof? Observe Shiva, observe Vishnu. Vishnu lives where? In the Milky Ocean. Lakshmi came from where? Lakshmi Kshira Samudra Raja Tanayam. So Lakshmi is born out of Kshira Sagara. Therefore Kshira Samudra is Lakshmi's father. And that means what? Vishnu's father-in-law. Iva rendu perume, both Shiva and Vishnu, there is agreement in one minimum thing. They have found father-in-law's house to be the best place. Anyway, that is a different thing. So, sthavaranam, among the mountains, I am Himalayaha. Ashvattha sarva vrikshanam, devarshinam cha naradaha, Gandharvanam Chitraratha, Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi, Sarva Vrikshanam, all the trees are the glories of the Lord only. But if you have to pinpoint a particular tree which is the most glorious and revered, that is Ashwattha Vrikshaha. And it is daily worshipped by Hindus because it is supposed to be the abode of the Trinity. Therefore, if you do Ashwattha Pradakshinam, then it is as good as doing Pradakshinam to the three deities. Moolato Brahma Rupaya, Madhyato Vishnu Rupine, Agrataha Shiva Rupaya, Vrikshrajaya Te Namaha. So Ashwattha is called Vrikshrajaha, the king among trees. Why? Because in the moolam, the root of Ashwattha Vriksha, Brahmaji is residing. In the middle trunk, Madhyato Vishnu Rupine, and Agrataha, on the top of the tree, Lord Shiva abides. And to that Vriksha Raja, my namaskara. And therefore Krishna says, Ashwattha. Here you should not quote the 15th chapter. Because in the 15th chapter, Ashwattha represents Samsara Vriksha. So it is a tree of bondage. In the Adathala Chalapadade, here it is Moolato Brahma Rupaya. You have to see. Then Devarshinam Cha Naradaha. You know. So among Maharshis, Bhrigu was mentioned. Here Devarishis, the celestial rishis. Among them I am Naradaha, the most popular rishi, Triloka Sanchari rishi. There is no Purana in which Narada doesn't come. Even in the Upanishads, Narada appears. Not only mere Puranic stories for Kalaha. In Chandogya Upanishad, in the 7th chapter, Narada is the disciple of Sanat Kumara. And Narada receives Brahma Vidya from Sanat Kumara. And that teaching is a very, very famous one. And it is called Bhuma Vidya. So in the 7th chapter of Chandogya Upanishad, Brahman is called Bhuma. And Brahma Vidya is called Bhuma Vidya. And that is received by Narada from Sanat Kumara. And therefore Narada is a Jnani also. And not only he was a great Jnani, he distributed that wisdom to all the people. In fact, the very word Narada means Naram Jnanam Dadati Iti Naradaha. Naram means Jnanam. Da means giver. So the one who enlightens all the people. And that great Narada, I am among the celestial rishis. I am Narasulra. Lord Krishna, don't forget Krishna. We are talking about Krishna only here. Gandharvanam Chitraratha. So among Gandharvas. So again, Gandharvas are the denizens, the citizens of the heaven, another colony. I have told you several colonies are there, and one area is called Gandharva Loka, which is known for all forms of art. So dance, music, painting, sculpture, all of them are well known there. And among those Gandharvas, are you able to hear? You can hear? Okay. Among the Gandharvas, I am the king of Gandharvas, known as Chitraratha. Chitraratha is Gandharva Raja. In fact, in Mahabharata story, when the Pandavas are in the forest, that Gandharva Raja appears. If you remember the TV serial, there he appears. Gandharvanam Chitraratha, Siddhanam Kapilo Munihi. Among the great Siddhas, Siddhas means people who have got extraordinary powers, miraculous powers. They are called Siddhaha. And you should remember, miraculous powers and spiritual knowledge do not have any connection at all. I have told you long before, four types of people are possible. Those who have got Siddhi but no self-knowledge, and those who have got self-knowledge but no Siddhi, those who have got self-knowledge also, Siddhis also, and what is the fourth type? Nammala mari. I think nammala solapadadu nenikiren. We are all self-knowledgeable people. Anyway, the fourth type of people who have neither Siddhis nor Jnanam. Of these four types of people, who are liberated and who are not liberated? Those who have got Jnanam without Siddhi are liberated, because for liberation, Jnanam alone is required. You don't require any Siddhi at all. And those who have got Jnanam and Siddhi, of course, they are also liberated. And their liberation is because of Jnanam. And the third type of people who have got Siddhis and who do not have Jnanam, they are all samsaris, even though they have miraculous power. In fact, many of the Rakshasas had Siddhis, but they did not have knowledge. Whereas Kapila Muni is one who had both Jnanam and Siddhi. In fact, in Bhagavata Purana, Kapila is supposed to be one of the avatars of Bhagavan. Kapila Avatara is very well known in Bhagavatam, and Kapila teaches Vedanta to his mother Devahuti. Kapila Devahuti Samvadaha is very well known portion. Vedanta is beautifully taught by Kapila to his mother. Of course, there is another Kapila Rishi who is not an avatara of Bhagavan, who is a great philosopher who has propounded Sankhya philosophy, which is totally different from Vedanta. That Sankhya philosopher Kapila is not talked about here. Here we are talking about the Vedanta teacher Kapila Avataram. And not only he was a great Vedanta teacher, he was a Siddha Purusha also, a man of Siddhi. And there also they say, a person can get Siddhi through several methods. So a person can get miraculous powers through mani, mantra, aushadham. Mani means what? Certain types of precious stone. So like in the Alauddin's lamp and the kadhayil ellam varumallayo, So you take a precious stone, you get some power. So that is called mani. Then aushadham, certain types of herbs, if you hold in the hand, you get miraculous power. And mantra, certain type of mantras, you do purascharanam. Edo oru naalaki 11 theram javichen sonnala poradu. That mantra you have to do purascharanam. What do you mean by purascharanam? You have to find out how many letters are there in the mantra. Suppose Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya are eluthirukku. You have to multiply it with lakhs. So that means 6 lakhs time minimum you have to chant. If it is Ashtaksharam, 8 lakhs. If it is Dvadashaksharam, 12 lakhs. This is minimum. What is maximum? Multiply by crore. Therefore, 5 crore times, 12 crore times, then the potency of the mantra is released. Like through nuclear fission or fusion, the energy within the atom is released. How much energy? It can destroy a Hiroshima or a Nagasaki. So much power is there in a small atom. Similarly, every mantra has got tremendous potency. That potency is released by purascharanam of the mantra. Through that also a person gets siddhis. So mani, mantra, aushadha. Then the fourth method is yogaha, meditation. So by concentrating the mind, focusing the mind, like chakra focusing, etc., called yoga. Through yoga also, siddhis can be accomplished. And there is a fifth one. And what is that? Janma. By birth itself, because of some extraordinary purva punyam, certain people have some power. Sometimes we read some freak news items. A person allows a big current, you know, a high current to pass through him. I don't know whether you have read such item. Normally, if such a heavy current passes, a person will turn into ashes. But this person is a conductor of electricity and nothing happens. Bulb also he holds and burns. There was a TV program, The Incredible or something like that. This person holds the bulb and passes the current, bulb burns. And the scientists say that he has got some peculiar body configuration. How? Not that he acquired by birth. And another person pours acid over his body. Nitric acid, hydrochloric acid, sulfuric acid, enna acid vana solugo, he pours. And the dress gets burnt. But his skin is unaffected. So this is for an example. Similarly, by birth, certain people have got miraculous power. Such people are called siddhaha. For in the context, siddha means janmana siddhaha. Those who have got miraculous powers by birth, not by any sadhana. And among such siddha purushas, Krishna says, I am Kapila Munihi. So the one who has got the golden yellow color. The complexion is golden yellow. Kapila is, the gold color is called Kapila. Kapila Devaha. Abhidhan the Kapila Devaku peru vichiruka. It's a very beautiful name. Kapila Devaha. It's a wonderful name. Uchai Shravasam Ashwanam Vidhimam Amrutodbhavam Airavatam Gajendranam Narananca Naradhipam. In fact, in the previous verse, I forgot one point. When I said Kapila Muni, you should remember that story. That Ganga Vataranam story, Kapila came. Enga vandar? Navamrukolyo. He was doing tapas. So therefore, that Kapila Muni I am. So that's why I said that story is used in all places. So now we are ready for the next story, which is another equally popular story in our Puranas. In fact, two stories are the most popular. One is Gangavataranam and the other is Samudramathanam, churning the milky ocean. And peculiarly enough, both the stories are teaching one fundamental lesson to us, and that is, in life, perseverance is the most important value. If you have to be successful in life, you should take everything as a challenge. Failure should not deter you. Failure should not make you fatalistic. Failure should not make you pessimistic. Failure should only trigger further energy. Story number one, Bhagiratha Prayatna. Story number two, Deva Asura Prayatna. Here also you know the story, I need not elaborate. Devas and Asuras decided to churn the milky ocean and bring out Amrutam. And churning the milky ocean, you cannot use the local mixi, half a liter. So therefore they had to bring special churning rod. And what is that? Manthara Parvatam. And they had to bring special rope, Vasuki. And then they had to do the churning. And in the beginning itself, difference of opinion. Athle enna karyam pannanam naalum, you will find the first thing that will come is difference of opinion. You tell one thing, your wife will tell just the opposite. Or the other way around. It is just natural. So what is the difference of opinion? Who should hold the head of the snake? Who should hold the tail of the snake? So therefore what they have to do, head or tail? Anyway, somehow they solved the problem. I am not going to the details. And they started churning. The churning rod went down. And therefore again they had to pray to Vishnu, and Vishnu went underneath tortoise form, and they started churning. Varieties of things started coming, varieties of wonderful things and varieties of dangerous things also. So therefore Kaustubha Ratna came, Lakshmi Devi came, Airavatam came, Uchai Shravas came, so many things, Dhanvantari and all. I am not going to the details. Hala Hala Visham also came. And this symbolically again indicates Brahma Vidya. Just as Gangavataranam is bringing Brahma Vidya down from the Lord, Samudra Mathanam is also churning our mind. Vicharaha, inquiry, in Vedanta class, what are you doing? Lot of churning is supposed to happen. I hope so. I am very optimistic. And the mind represents Kshirasagara, because Kshirasagara is white in color. White represents Sattvaguna, and Sattvaguna represents the mind which is Sattvic. And when you do the churning with the rod of scriptures, scriptural statements, varieties of things arise. Then what happened? Todaram. Okay. Purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate nasya purnamadaya purnameva vachishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.